Hey, I'm speaking with Ben Lando, who's the publisher of a new publication called The Homefront, subtitled A Solutions Journalism Publication of Now Kalamazoo. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And also with Chris Killian, who's the lead reporter for The Homefront. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
What was the genesis? I'll start with you, Ben. What was the genesis of Now Kalamazoo and The Homefront?
The Homefront came about when I was noticing, over a year ago, increasing numbers of people around Kalamazoo, and especially downtown Kalamazoo, who are visibly homeless. The number of people increasing who appeared to be asking for money or carrying everything they owned with them, or to the extreme, sleeping in public spaces. And I thought to myself, that's not going to end well, because I'm not hearing a lot of talk from policymakers about public policy being enacted to help alleviate the situation of homelessness. And then shortly after I started thinking about that, we had in the summer of last year the encampment at Bronson Park that brought this issue to the forefront, to the extreme. And because there wasn't any dialogue about this beforehand, and the dialogue after that was very much a knee-jerk reaction to a decades and decades long problem, I thought there might be a role for high quality journalism to focus on the issue of homelessness, refer to it and explore it as a crisis in Kalamazoo, and convey that to the community with the goal of helping stakeholders, policymakers, advocates, homeless people get to the table and finally get to the same table and discuss proper solutions toward the goal of ending homelessness as much as possible.
Chris, you were out in the field, as it were, talking to people about this issue for the home front. Did you find anything that surprised you?
I guess one of the first things that really surprised me, and perhaps I should have known this before, but we really, I don't think as a community, myself included, had really thought about this, was just the lack of affordable housing. Kalamazoo is a resource-rich community full of advocates for a host of different kind of social problems, issues, homelessness included. So it was interesting to me that the city is kind of at a loss for the number of affordable housing units that would be needed in order to alleviate the crisis that Ben was just alluding to. There's a lot of different strategies for dealing with housing people who are housing insecure or homeless. But when you look at the scope of the problem, there's not the level of housing stock that's commensurate with the issue as we see it today. That was probably one of the biggest surprises.
Homelessness, to coin a cliche, is kind of like death and taxes. It always seems to be with us. But is Kalamazoo unusual in this regard of homelessness? Is it unusual because it is, as Chris mentioned, a fairly wealthy community, and yet it has this crisis?
I don't think it's unusual that Kalamazoo as a city and our community suffers from homelessness crisis. A lot of communities around the country, big and small, suffer from it. What is unusual, I think, is that we have so many entities and individuals and organizations, government-funded or private, nonprofit, it runs the gamut, who are focused on these issues. And we have a lot of money that we're putting into it to attempt to address some of the issues, some of the kind of the sub-issues, the sub-components of homelessness. And I refer to those as tacticians. The Homefront refers to those as tacticians, entities that are involved in some of the parts of this. But without a broad strategy, then there's no way to fully harness all those tacticians, all the good intentions, all of the money into an end goal. And there have been a handful of communities around the country who have taken some initiatives, who have thought outside the box, who have bucked some of the naysayers that said we can't do this, and have used a lot of data, including data that has been researched and provided by the federal government since the Reagan administration, to create a strategy that actually affects change. And we don't have that going on in Kalamazoo. And that's one of the main realizations from our reporting, is that it's not being looked at. Not only is it not being looked at from a strategic point of view, but it's also being compartmentalized into the municipalities. So you have the city of Kalamazoo, who has, I would say, punched above their weight in terms of mandate and in terms of skill set and funding and capability to try to address the homelessness issue. But because they aren't part of a broader strategic focus, and because the other municipalities who don't have such a higher concentration of homelessness are kind of looking at it from the outside, in many ways, but not always, looking at it from the outside, looking toward the city of Kalamazoo, and because the county of Kalamazoo has more or less decided they're not going to look at it and take responsibility for the county, we're kind of in the status quo.
In the home front, you advocate seemingly that the county really should be the point person. That's not a person, but the county should be taking the lead in the issue of homelessness. Why?
Well, we have two dozen or so municipalities within the county, and all of those are going to be fighting for resources and fighting against some of the NIMBY aspects of addressing homelessness. And so it naturally sets some conflict in motion unless there's somebody that can have an overarching role in setting the strategy, bringing everybody together in utilizing best practices to determine how much money is needed, how do we consolidate where that money is coming from and how it gets spent in order to affect change and to set benchmarks and hold entities responsible if they don't meet their requirements. That has to happen. We need something that kind of overarches the municipalities, because there are borders, municipal borders, but they mean squat when it comes to homelessness. If you're homeless and you live in Portage and all of a sudden you become homeless for whatever reason and you need services, you're going to migrate into the city of Kalamazoo because the services are concentrated there. And you know, so the city of Kalamazoo can just absorb that and have to deal with that on their own, deal with that budget on their own, or they can stop providing services and have the opposite negative effect, or we can think smartly about this and request that our elected officials think smartly about it as well.
Now, you mentioned that there were several, four, I believe, model communities elsewhere in the country who seem to be taking innovative approaches to solving the homelessness issue. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Sure. And they're all unique. And where we pulled this from, and we highlight some of those in the magazine, is the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. This is the federal government agency started by the Reagan administration that brings in 19 other interrelated agencies and departments in the federal government to help create – to harness kind of the data, make sense of it, and help provide assistance and ideas and grants at sometimes to local governments to help address homelessness. And they have a list on their website of, I think it's like 88 or so communities who have successfully addressed homelessness. Most of those are focused on one specific population, which is veteran homelessness, which our neighbors in Kent County have done a pretty good job on that. We highlight that in the magazine. And there's been four who have been certified, so to speak, by that agency as having succeeded in addressing literal homelessness. They approach it in different ways because some of them are more rural, like 18 counties outside of the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and some of them are more urban, like Bergen County in New Jersey, right across the river from New York City. But what they've ultimately done is taken a kind of top to bottom, head to tail approach to this, knowing that the most important thing for somebody to stop being homeless is to be in a home, full stop. But then how do they successfully move from immediately becoming not homeless to actually being sustainably not homeless? And there's a lot of services, and those are all individual to that person or family. Some of it might just be as simple as they lost their job, they had debt piling up, maybe a health issue that's been resolved, but their bills haven't, and now they need a little bit of help to get back on their feet. Some of them have more serious issues, some medical issues. Regardless, it doesn't matter even what the reasons are, because you can tailor the approach to the services, the wraparound services to that, and help that person or family navigate through the system in a streamlined way, and that has been proven to be not only more effective than kind of the ad hoc way that most communities do it like us, and it's also been more cost effective.
One aspect of this issue is youth homelessness, and I gather there's a big tie in there between being young and being homeless and being LGBTQ. Chris, you handled that aspect of it, did you not?
Mm-hmm. I did.
What did you find in Kalamazoo in regard to that aspect of the issue?
Well, I think what we found in Kalamazoo is similar to what we've seen pretty much nationwide on this issue, is that if you're already part of a marginalized group like LGBTQ folks, and also especially if you're a LGBTQ person of color, you are further marginalized from society. In many instances, at least what we found in our reporting, was that purely from oftentimes from a religious standpoint, if some folks, young folks from those demographics had come from a religious family, they had been kicked out of the house because their parent or parents didn't accept their lifestyle. So they automatically became homeless. And then once that happens, it's they open themselves up to an unfortunate cascade of events that could be the potentiality for human trafficking and sex work. It could be a marked increase in the possibility of suicide. It could be a host of other kind of issues that put that person at serious risk. That plays out in Kalamazoo, and we've been talking during our discussion about the plethora of services that are available in this community, and that's why we've seen young people from these different kinds of groups coming to Kalamazoo from as far away as Colorado in order to access the services that are available here. So at least we know that the ability to be assisted is here, but it's an unfortunate reality that must be dealt with, that it's happening in the first place. And that's why a lot of the groups here that are providing those services also try to be the middle person between the young person and their families, to try to reconcile, try to build that bridge back. So that, number one, that young person's back in a home. And number two, that there's a greater deal of understanding and empathy that gets created, so that they can go forward together as a family unit that's healthy and as sustainable as possible.
We've seen this. We were told this by local organizations that are helping this particular community. And we've saw this in nationwide data from a number of different research institutions, as well as the federal government's data, that shows that a disproportionate number of homeless youth are LGBTQ. And because of the specific reasons that Chris mentioned, they identify with a particularly marginalized community, and I think only recently are being looked at and supported specific to the needs of that community.
You've mentioned that there are a lot of services and a lot of groups working on this issue in the Kalamazoo area, and that's been true for a long time, and yet the problem persists. So from your perspective, what is the solution to getting that better coordination?
Speaking for myself, and I would say for Chris too, we're not experts in homelessness. We have probably spent more time over the past year thinking about it and discussing it and researching it and talking to people about it than the average person. We don't have the answer to that, and we're not policymakers, so we haven't been looking at it from a policy perspective. And that's not our responsibility. That's the responsibility of the policymakers. But I would say that what we've come away with is that it's almost too simple, at least the approach to getting to this, right? If what is our goal as a community? And I don't think that question's been asked And I don't think the policymakers have asked that themselves. What is our goal? And I would argue that our goal, and we put this in here, is our goal is should be to have as few amount of people experiencing homelessness as humanly possible. And once you set the goal, then you have to set a strategy to reach that goal. And there's ways to go about creating that strategy to reach that goal. But you can't do that without leadership. So the first thing that has to happen is that leadership in the community need to step up and actually address this and say, we have a problem. We as a community, we as policymaking organizations have not succeeded all the way, despite the fact that there are a lot of good organizations doing some of the good work that will be incorporated into the what a strategy would look like. That's the next step, is, you know, admitting that there's a problem and addressing it that way.
I'll just add one more thing onto what Ben just said, and that's that when you look back at last summer and you see, you know, the issue in Bronson Park and the encampment surrounded a camping ordinance in the park. That was the specific legislative issue that was at play then. It ended in a very, I would say, unfortunate way, and the optics of it didn't necessarily look good.
When public safety came in and cleared the park.
Exactly, and city workers came in with bulldozers and, you know, bulldozed tents and personal belongings, et cetera, and threw them away. But I think at that time, irrespective of that specific city ordinance, that on the flip side provided a real good opportunity to kind of look at this issue holistically. And I think the capital, the political capital, the community capital that was present at that time was squandered. And you saw that in the reporting that Ben and I have done, that the city did set up a series of meetings where they were hoping to interact with advocates, the homeless community, et cetera. And the first meeting was not very well attended at all, and I don't think anybody attended the second meeting. And that's in some of our reporting in the magazine. So
That would seem to suggest that there's a serious trust issue.
I think that there is. And I think that if you went to some of those meetings, it's over a year ago now, but there is a great deal of animosity from the homeless community towards city officials. And, you know, I've been a journalist in this town on and off for several years. And I can tell you that the homelessness issue has propped its head up several times. And there seems to be a specific kind of narrative that takes place. It's that there's an issue, it's talked about, and then it goes away. And there's never kind of the political will to look at this holistically, take the hard steps that are necessary to institute a sustainable problem, and then get everybody together at the table in order to make that happen going forward. So I think there was an opportunity last summer that came and went again. And now that we have a new city commission, perhaps there is once again the opportunity to look at this in a way that kind of puts this crisis at the forefront where I think a lot of people believe it belongs.
I would add to that, digging in a little bit deeper to what Chris said, and that's exactly right. When the city government attempted to respond to the protests, the city of Kalamazoo government attempted to respond to the protests, even while the encampment was happening, as well as afterwards, they were, I would say, broadly well-intentioned. But they were putting the cart in front of the horse. I mean, they were looking at tactics, trying to break it down into different silos to better understand the different aspects of homelessness and try to tackle those as individual, less interrelated aspects of homelessness. And that's one of the big reasons why they weren't successful, is because they didn't approach it from a strategic standpoint, saying, let's understand what it takes and then figure out how to repackage and update the package of tactics that are part of this solution, part of this strategy. And I think because it was led by the city, methodical, just maybe a little bit wrongly focused, it also prevented homeless people being at the head of the table, at least sharing the head of the table to bring some reality, maybe some cold water onto some of the ambitions of the folks pushing the cart and not the ones pushing the horse. And at the same time, while this was happening, it was doomed to fail because a few blocks away, while this was happening, you had a county commission that were just bickering and infighting, and they weren't focused on homelessness and their responsibility at Bronson Park a couple blocks away. They were infighting, personal squabbles, politics, and as part of that, they were losing momentum on certain key programs. They had funding being kicked back to the state because they couldn't get their stuff together. I mean, it was just really if it wasn't so dire and winter wasn't looming, it would be laughable. And we'll see, we don't have a new county commission, but we do have a few county commissioners who are running for higher office. And we'll see if they take this opportunity to, in their last year in office, take the lead on this or lip service.
Now, you've come out with this publication. I'm holding a copy of it right here at the home front. It's also available online. Who is the intended audience?
Everyone who was affected by this in Kalamazoo. I mean, this is a focus on Kalamazoo County. Some are more impacted directly by homelessness, like the especially concentrated downtown, people living downtown, people homeless downtown, businesses downtown, and then the government entities that are based downtown, the city and county commissions. But it's everyone in the county, because if we don't do well, everyone stops doing well. You know, this is a vital issue that has direct ramifications on setting aside the humanity of it, but on the economy, on commerce. I mean, things that people who perhaps don't care as much about the humanity aspect of it might care more about if they realize that it's going to be bad for use of taxpayer dollars. We're spending more taxpayer dollars, and we want to have a more vibrant community downtown with all these big buildings being built for people to move downtown. So it's those policymakers, stakeholders, people who can influence this issue.
And I would assume you obviously hope it has an impact along the lines we've been talking about to push them towards a more strategic approach.
I think that is an important information note that should be considered. People who are expert in this and people who are policymakers need to look at it and decide how to address it. I think we've laid it out in very clear, logical terms, and it was hard to get to that point. It was a difficult year of reporting, but it's going to be much more difficult to sit down and think outside the box and actually take some hard decisions and allocate some funds and reallocate funds and push back on some prerogatives of some people to actually get to that. To that point, and I'm hopefully that they take this as part of their toolbox to fix this.
You know, the Kalamazoo Community Foundation is embarking upon a big push focused on equity, and that's countywide. And the whole idea of their equity push is that every single person, every single person's potential is realized in the county of Kalamazoo. And I, at least, am hoping that this publication opens up the much-needed, nuanced discussion between all of the stakeholders, policymakers, community members, and, yes, homeless folks at the forefront that I think has been a long time coming. And I am banking on the goodwill and the intelligence of this community and those aforementioned demographics to come together and finally have a discussion that we should have been having for a very long time, especially now that the weather has turned colder. And I'd hate to see this go by the wayside once again. That would be very unfortunate.
Yeah, that's an important point that we haven't gotten to yet, and we didn't touch on it as much as it deserved to be touched on in the magazine, is the inequity that we find throughout the community. And in particular with traditionally and historically marginalized communities, I mean, we see disproportionate numbers of African-American homeless within the data versus what the demographics are throughout the county. And we see concentrations of poverty in certain parts of the county. And, you know, those aren't all happening in isolation, not in isolation today. And historically, I think that's crucial to actually having a sustainable solution to homelessness?
As we mentioned at the beginning, the Homefront is an outgrowth of now Kalamazoo, a local journalism initiative that you, Ben, started. And that gets us into the issue of local journalism. It's frankly not been a very bright story in a lot of places, including perhaps Kalamazoo. What is next for now Kalamazoo? What do you hope to accomplish?
Sure. I think that's right. And we're not seeing it just in Kalamazoo. The growing news desert is a curse on the country. And in many ways, it's having negative impacts on municipalities. And we're seeing this throughout the county. We're seeing less and less ability for legacy news organizations to do reporting. That doesn't mean they're not doing good reporting. I remember shortly after the homelessness encampment at Bronson Park, the Gazette, MLive, did some profiles of individuals who were impacted by homelessness. That, I think that was really good in bringing voices out. WMUK, WWMT, our local TV station, has done a good job in promoting some of the positive developments, housing developments that have been focused on low income people, homelessness, and coverage of some of the issues. So what we're attempting to do with the Homefront is to have a voice within that specific important beat. And with Now Kalamazoo, this is our first publication, our first kind of effort into local media scene. And we're hoping to use the Homefront and to kind of that be a jumping off point into deep dives into important issues, as well as more broader focus on issues that are important to people in Kalamazoo County.
Do you foresee it becoming like a newspaper, a local news organization that's, doing stuff every day and publishing stuff every day or at least every week? Or is it going to be more episodic than that?
It's too soon to tell. And I don't think it's not mutually exclusive. I think there's a lot that can be done at the same time, but we're not sure yet. I mean, the magazine, we just picked it up from Portage Printing just over a week ago, so we're still in working on distributing it all and publishing online. We feel that this is an important issue, and we feel there's vast amounts of benefit to the community in addressing it finally. And there's, on the flip side, there's significant risk to the community if the status quo remains. So we hope people engage in this. We welcome any feedback, discussions about this. I mean we're happy to be here in the studio to talk with you about it, and hopefully helping others kind of join us in trying to wrap our brains around this legacy issue that we have here.
And for the benefit of those listening, where can you get this, and how can you provide that feedback?
Sure. So you can obtain it. This is free. It's available digitally. You can go to nowkalamazoo.com, and that redirects to our social media pages so that you can find it there, both the full magazine digitally, as well as we're publishing each story. And we'll have a couple other stories that didn't make it into the magazine that will be published via social media. So it's easy to read and easy to share. You can also find the hard copy around town, a lot of coffee shops downtown especially. I think Michigan News Agency has a copy. A lot of the grocery stores, I think People's Food Co-op had some copies there. Cafe Casa, and across the street there's that City Center Market. I seen those there yesterday. So there's a lot of places. Bell's and Old Dog, while you're enjoying your beer and getting up to date on what's happening in the community. There's I'm not trying to promote these organizations, but that's where you can find them.
And we've been speaking with Ben Lando, the publisher of The Homefront and Now Kalamazoo, and lead reporter Chris Killian. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.